Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Lord, give us a rich portion from your throne. Father, speak to our hearts and give us understanding of your heart toward us. In Jesus' name. This is a message that came a few days ago. I've never seen this before. I've never heard it before. It's just something, it's one of those things where things come together all of a sudden and the Holy Spirit shows you something you didn't know, something fresh. In Hebrews 4:15, we're going to establish something before we get to the message, the meat of the message. It's important that we understand something. In Hebrews 4:15, the Word of God says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." This is extremely important. We have a high priest. He's not someone who's not able to be touched by the feeling of our, by the emotion of our infirmities. By the way, God knows how you feel. He's been there. It's not that he cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus was, for example, tempted to commit adultery or fornicate or do drugs. That means that he was tested and tried just as a man would be tested and tried. That means that he had an enemy who sought to devour him just as we do. That means that he had people he had to deal with just as we do. He had a life to deal with just as we have. But here is the other point. Yet without sin. Now, it is a singular there. It's not yet without sins. It's yet without sin. When you see that in the singular there, it's not talking about individual failures. It's talking about sin nature. He was a high priest. He was tried, but he had no sin nature. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word of God says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." It was the Word that was made flesh. And the Word was what dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In heaven, He will have written on His thigh, "Word of God." That is His name, Word of God. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, the Word of God says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And this was the angel Gabriel speaking to a young woman, Mary, who was a virgin, who had never been with a man. And he said to her, "You will conceive in your womb." There's going to be conception taking place. And then she asked, "How is this possible? I have not been with a man." And the angel told her, "It is of the Holy Spirit." Now in Luke 1:35, the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit caused Mary to conceive. She was a virgin, and God planted in her a seed. The seed that speaks of sperm. Now, the Holy Spirit told us that he had no sin nature. So what is it that was the conception? Well, let's continue. Luke 8:11 says, the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God becomes flesh. Are you starting to follow this? Isaiah 7:14 said, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And the word conceive there in the original language is speaking of literal conception. And bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, of course, God is with us. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, you see, here's the turning point for all this. Before we get there, though, let's establish something. The Word of God tells us that Christ was a man, but Christ was also God. And there was a union where God became a man. Now, let's talk a little bit of biology. The father and the mother each produce half of the DNA. Each contribute half the DNA. And both the father's DNA and the mother's DNA have a role. And they are both expressed in the offspring, in the child. And so certain traits that the child possesses came from the mother, and certain traits that the child possesses came from the father. Because each contributed half of the DNA. Now, Romans in chapter 7 tells us that the sin nature is in my physical body. Okay? The sin nature is a part of me physically. Just like I have a lungs, I have a heart, I have a liver, kidneys, intestines, spleen, I have a sin nature. And it is a physical portion of my body. And that physical portion, as everything else, is encoded by my DNA. Okay? The sin nature is in the DNA. This is why, so often, weaknesses that parents have, children have also. This is why, for example, identical twins, they will often do exactly the same things without communicating. For example, many studies have been done with this. I saw a thing the other day. Grown-up women who are twin sisters, both of them dressed in the exact same dress, in the exact same color, although neither one knew that the other owned it. There was a thing with two brothers who were twin boys who were separated as children. Both of them became firemen. Both of them liked the same clothes. Very similar things. So the DNA encodes much of our behavior, including our sin nature. Now, Jesus had no sin nature. That means that all of the DNA that Jesus had, and I'm not trying to teach this as a doctrine, this is simply putting Bible and science together. All the DNA that Jesus had must have come from His Father. Now, I said that to somebody one time, and they had a very difficult time with it, thinking that Jesus would have DNA. Well, you know what? If He didn't have DNA, He wasn't a human being, and the Bible's not true. Jesus had DNA. How do I know Jesus had DNA? Because He had a hair, He had arms, He had legs. He was not born, He didn't come out an adult. He was born as an infant. He had gone through all the religious rites that all the children had gone through in Israel. He was very much a human being. He had DNA because DNA encodes the human being. Now, what did the mother contribute? You see, this is the amazing thing. The Father, the Holy Spirit, God, planted in Mary the full genome of God. But Mary's machinery within the egg, and the mother provides the machinery, the father does not provide any machinery, the father provides only genetic information. The mother in the egg provides the full machinery and every bit of that machinery to cause that egg, that fertilized egg, to develop into a human being, full grown, recognizable. I mean, certainly the fertilized egg is a human being, don't misunderstand. But you know what I'm saying, develop into the fullness of the physical nature of a human. It's the machinery that takes the information and builds a person. Mary provided the machinery, God provided the information. And there you have the Immaculate Conception. There you have a virgin who herself has a sin nature because she's a human being. She has human DNA. We know her lineage. It was spelled out in the Bible. And she was very much a human being with parents who had parents who had parents. The whole lineage is there. So we know, and she went all the way back to David, and we know David was a sinner. He went all the way back to Abraham, went all the way back to Adam. So she had the same nature as any other human being. But Jesus did not. Jesus was without sin. That means that she provided the machinery, but God provided the information. The information that if it were provided by a man and a woman would contain a sin nature. But because the information, the DNA, was provided by God, there was no sin nature. Now, let's take a look where we're going with this. In Proverbs 23:26, and we just saw this a little while ago, in Proverbs 23:26, the Word of God says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." My son, who is the son? John 1:12. The son is that person who is saved. The person who has received Christ is the Son of God. So it is saying, if you are saved, give, and the word give in the original language means to place, place in me your heart. God says, place in me your heart. Make me your complete frame of reference. Make me your affection. Make me your thoughts. Make me the basis of all your understanding and evaluation. Place in me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. The eyes speak of the mental faculties, the perception. Let all your perceptions be on my ways. Cause my ways to be the foundation of your understanding. For a whore, and in Revelation 17 that is the world system, is a deep ditch and a strange woman. In Proverbs chapter 2, the strange woman is the ungodly companion, is a narrow pit. So she lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. How does that work? You see, what is it about the ungodly companion, the ungodly friend, the ungodly associate, the ungodly association? What is it about this interplay with the world system that is so difficult for believers to get out of? Because they are a deep pit in a narrow ditch. Very difficult to get back out of. Well, in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They are the way of life. The reproof of instruction is the path that gives me life. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10, the Word of God says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve you, and understanding will keep you. What is it about the Word of God producing discretion and understanding that preserve a believer? You see, one of the things that believers think is that this is talking about my actions, or this is strictly talking about my thinking. And yes, those are components, but it is not a complete picture if that's what I'm thinking. It is much more than just that. Have you ever noticed that when certain people get into certain types of habits, those habits are impossible for them to break? For example, there are certain weaknesses or certain sins that people get into and they just cannot get out again. There's a reason for that. Because the world is a deep ditch, a deep pit, and the strange woman, the ungodly companion, is a narrow ditch. Why is that? How come that works that way? Well, let me ask you something else. How is it that laughter doeth good like medicine? It's the same principle at work. Let's take a look. Romans chapter 7 and verse 23. But I see another law in my members, melos, literally a part of the body. In my physical being, in my physical body, there is another law at work, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Okay, there's my sin nature in my physical body. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Old sin nature affecting me into a body of death. Why is it that when Eve and Adam went against God's definition that they died? Something happened to them. One of the things that happened to them is telomeres. The portions on chromosomes that end, as the cell reproduces, the ends get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. This is the aging process, but it's more than just that. Esther Stevens tells a story. There was a man who had leukemia. It was not treatable. And the Holy Spirit led that man to get his hands on everything he could find that would make him laugh. And he did everything he could find, and he did everything he could think of that was funny to him. And he laughed, 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 and he went to the doctor and said, I don't know what you're doing, but you have no leukemia, keep it up. Laughter does good like medicine. Do you think these are just spiritual principles? Certainly they are spiritual, but do you think that is the only realm that these are true in? No. In Exodus chapter 34, in verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Oh, but there's another part. This is a part that gives a lot of people a lot of trouble. And that will by no means clear the guilty. That word clear means by no means clear. He will not make them clean. He will not clear the guilty. Visiting, and that word means to appoint, to commit to, or to deposit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. And upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. A lot of people think this is the generational curse. The generational curse is nothing more than the old sin nature. Everybody has one. That's, you know what that means though? There is something that does mean. When someone lives in iniquity, the effects will be felt through the generations. Now, what is that? Does that mean the side effects? Like what they brought on themselves, maybe poverty or whatever? No. That means in their body, there's something inherited here. Now, there's an area of biology called epigenetics. Epi means above, and genetics talks about the genes. So the literal translation is, what is above the genes? And this area of biology deals with genetic expression. Now, I was looking at this week. I read several articles from Science Magazine from 2000. August 10th of 2000, Science Magazine published a special issue about epigenetics. This is very pertinent stuff. You see, it's not just the genes. Let me put it this way. One of the scientists put it like so. And I think this was a very good way to put it. The genes, the chromosomes, are the hardware. Let's say you have a computer. The chromosomes are the hardware. The epigenetics is the software that makes the hardware work. Now here's the kicker. The epigenetics, the software, is inherited just like the genes. Now the software changes, and it can turn on and off, and one of the mechanisms of turning it on and off is something called methylation or demethylation, both, depending on which gene you're talking about, where a methyl group, a CH3, attached to DNA, and part of that is where it wraps around a protein called a histone when it's in the chromatin form. Chromatin is simply DNA that is curled up very tightly. Well, they have found that curling of the chromatin, of the DNA, how tightly it is curled will affect its expression. They have also found that if you take off methyl groups, or if you put on methyl groups, CH3, you're going to change the expression of the DNA. Now, get this. The methylation and the other aspects of the mechanisms turning genetics on and off are largely determined by environment and behavior. And these things are passed on from parent to child. So, before you get discouraged, there is a positive side to this. But please understand, when the Word of God says, "My son, give me your heart," it's not just you. It's also your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Your right decisions with God, your decisions towards purity now, have a physical, genetic effect on your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Because the decisions you are making now before God, as you give God your heart, are changing, literally changing, your gene expression. The environment, this is one of the reasons why I constantly exhort people, don't get into it. I know you're not going to do anything nasty, but don't get into the environment where nasty things are happening. Don't be in ungodly, unclean environments. Why? Because it changes the expression of your genes. Now, scientists have found this to be so. The environment that you are in literally changes the way your genes get expressed, and those changes are then inherited by your children, your great-children, grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. This is powerful stuff. That means that when a believer decides to backslide, they've actually physically changed themselves. And they're passing that change on through their generations. It's not just you. It's not just you. Bad decisions affect your... Bad decisions now. Years before you have children. Bad decisions now are harming your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Because of the genes, because of the epigenetics, the software that makes the hardware work. And it's inheritable. It gets passed down. When the Word of God says, don't mess with impurity, don't mess with uncleanness, don't be promiscuous, don't get into environments that are ungodly, it's not kidding. When it says the wages of sin is death, it's not kidding. When it says don't associate yourself with the ungodly, it's not kidding. You know why? That association with the ungodly changes your genetics. And you pass it to your kids. And they pass it to their kids. And they pass it to their kids. And it's simply you have done something, perhaps out of ignorance, perhaps out of rebellion, perhaps out of carelessness, whatever it may be, perhaps out of pure, I just didn't know. And you've changed yourself physically. This is why when people get away from the Word of God, it becomes hard for them to go back. Because that removal from the Word of God changes your gene expression, which changes your behaviors. It changes your hormones. It changes the constructs of your brain even. This is why when a person draws nearer and nearer and nearer to the Word of God, and his joy and his satisfaction comes into their life, and all of a sudden there's this peace that passes understanding, and it becomes health to them. This is why. Because in the epigenetics, you are changing the way that your genes are expressed. This is why bad decisions, ungodliness is so hard to overcome. This is why I must have the Word of God, because I can't change myself. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. The person who lives in carelessness towards the Word of God, the person who lives in carelessness towards sin, the person who lives in an environment that is ungodly, the person who is careless about these things, has literally changed physically. And you can't change back on your own. People will say, oh, I'll be okay. You have no clue what you're talking about. You've changed your genetics. You're not going to be okay. Oh, I won't get involved. Yes, but you're in that environment where it's happening, and that environment is changing you. This is why Proverbs makes such a huge issue about who you associate with. Because they are literally changing you physically. And if you become accustomed to evil, can a leopard change his spots or an Ethiopian change his skin? They are genetically predetermined. You cannot do a thing about it. You have been changed. Fortunately, there's a two-way change. See, in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 20, the Word of God says, my son, attend to my words. Who is the son? The one who is born again. Attend to my words. Attend to the Word of God. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Incline your ears when the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Word of God. Incline your ears. Listen carefully. Incline them. Cup your hand around your ear and listen carefully. Lean forward so you can hear better. That's what it's saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. His sayings, do not let them depart from your perception. Let not the word of God depart from your perception, from your mind, from your thinking, from your emotions. Let not the word of God depart from your perception. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, in the midst of your frame of reference. Have the word be your frame of reference. For, listen, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the issues there is tosea, and it means the borders or endpoints. The word of God can prolong your life. The word of God can restore a healthy physical body. The word of God can restore a healthy mind. How? Because the word of God can, just like the wrong environment, just like the wrong influences, just like the wrong behaviors and decisions can destroy your genetics, the word of God can heal your genetics. The word of God can make your software, your epigenetics, such that the right genes are expressed and the wrong ones are suppressed. That turning on and off of genes is huge. There are studies with cancer. Turn off the right genes, turn on the wrong genes. That's where cancer comes from. Well, you reverse the process with epigenetics. That man reversed his process with laughter. The Word of God is health to your bones. What does that mean? That means the Word of God can change you genetically. And it can take all the sin nature in the world, and it can, because the sin nature is in the genes, it can change the expression of the genes so that theantric action can take place. Theantric action is when God's nature pushes aside your old sin nature through the Word of God, and you're reflecting God in your life. Well, how does that work? That means that the Word of God shuts down certain genes and turns on other genes. Where the wrong decisions, let's say, of a parent or a great parent, grandparent or a great grandparent would have negatively affected you physically because of the epigenetics, which is passed down through generations, the Word of God can reverse those effects and heal you of those negative effects. It can turn off the wrong genes and it can turn on the right genes. See, this is why the Bible says, get into the Word. My son, give me your heart. This is why it says. This is why it goes down through generations. Because you have changed genetically. And if you've changed genetically, you have changed physically. And it's not that you have different DNA. It's that you have different expression of DNA. You've changed the software. You haven't changed the proteins, you just change what turns on and what turns off. This is why the person who gets away from the Word of God tends to fall back into the patterns of their old sin nature. Because they have changed the software. They've started turning on the wrong genes and turning off the right genes. This is why the person who gets back into the Word of God, who draws near to God, their life is completely changed. Everything about them is changed. They have much more peace, and you can tell it in them physically. Their blood pressure changes. Their health is improved. Everything about them is improved. Why? Because they have turned on the right genes and they have turned off the wrong genes. The Word of God. You guys Do you really understand the importance of the Word of God? It's not just a spiritual thing, although certainly it is a huge spiritual thing. It is a physical thing, and it's something you will pass down to your children. They're going to pass it to your grandchildren, and they're going to pass it to your great-grandchildren. Do you understand the unbelievable importance of this? It's not just about you. It's what you have done to your genetics that you're passing on to posterity. And it is real. Just like hair color, just like height, get passed down. Well, you know what? The gene expression gets passed down also. And when you change the gene expression towards the positive in the Word of God, you pass that positive godly influence toward positive right thinking, positive right choices through the generations. This is why you have an alcoholic parent, you're usually going to have an alcoholic child. Gene expression. It's not that the DNA is different. It's what gets turned on and off that's different. The sin nature doesn't go away. Its expression does. This is why people who can't get into the Word of God have a very difficult time ever experiencing real victory in their lives. Because it's not just a way of thinking. It's not a way of behaving. It's a genetic expression of what's going on inside of your body. It's turning on and off things being produced by your cells. What things? Hormones. Neurotransmitters. All kinds of stuff. This is why certain types of things are so unbelievably destructive. For example, fornication. Tremendously destructive. Why? You have changed your genetics. This is why purity is so unbelievably healthy. Because you have changed your genetics. This is why the wages of sin is death. You have changed your genetics. It's in the Bible and it's in science. Both of them agree. You're changing your genes. The Word of God, the words of God, let them be in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the borders and endpoints of life. That's genetic. The Word of God affects your genetics. Do you see why God said, give me your heart? Do you see why God says, I set before you this day life and death. Choose life. That you and your seed may live. Not just you. You and your seed. Now get this. When it says seed, it's not talking about the child. It's talking about the gamete. It's talking about gametes. Seed is a gamete. That you and the contents of your gametes may produce life. May have life. This is huge. This is huge. This is why in Matthew 5:28 it says that whoever looketh upon a woman with lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Do you realize what that means? That means that physical change has already taken place. This is why a pure mind, pure association, not coming into contact with those who are ungodly, except to win them to Christ. by not having a fellowship, a union of friendship. A union where there's an exchange going on. That's a dangerous thing. And I'm not saying be unkind to these people. I'm saying don't make friends of them. Win them to Christ, but don't make friends of them. One, there is no friendship to be had with an opposite kingdom. But two, they will change you. They will literally change you. And they're going to change your children. And they're going to change your children's children. And they're going to change your great-grandchildren. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. See, when you put together the scriptures and interpret them in the light of what we know in science, not that science provides the interpretation, the scriptures interpret themselves, but the science provides a correlation. Then you start to recognize how unbelievably serious this really is. You're not just affecting your behavior. You're not just affecting your thinking, and you're not just affecting you. You're affecting generations. Several generations. Do you see the importance of the Word of God in your life? It changes you physically. And that change gets passed on. This is how the old sin nature patterns of a generational curse get broken, by the way. It's the Word of God. You can have a parent who is an alcoholic, and through the Word of God, the child will never even dream of it. Why? Software is different. The software is different. The processing is different. The desire is different. Much of our behavior and much of our desires are genetically determined. Now get this. There was research done on identical twins. Scientists are able to map which genes are expressed and which ones are not. Which ones are active and which ones are not. And they followed sets of twins. And twins in their very young age all twins have identical DNA. But twins in their very young age have identical expression of that DNA. But twins of older ages, especially of old age, have completely different expression of the DNA, even though the DNA is identical. And the reason is because the environment, the thoughts, the initiations, the stimulations, all these things were different for the two. And even though the DNA was identical, the expression created completely different people. Why? You see, the stimulations, the environment, the behaviors, the decisions, the intake of Word of God, if they were Christians, changed which genes got turned on, and which genes got turned off. This is why it is so important when God says, "My son, give me your heart." Because you are changing yourself and generations after you. You see these young people nowadays making these wrong decisions where they have the wrong friendships, where they get into wrong relationships. They have no clue what they're doing. They're destroying their great-grandchildren. Not just their children, not just their grandchildren, but three or four generations, the Word of God says. They're changing their DNA. They're changing their genes. changing their genes. The base pairs don't change. But what functions does. The software changes. In Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. The marrow is the part that produces your blood. It can affect your physical health. It affects your physical health. And, get this, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the thoughts there are the conscious thoughts, and the intents are the notions or what is in the mind of the hearts. So the intents is the subconscious mind, where the thoughts are the conscious mind, and the heart is the frame of reference. So not only have you changed yourself physically, you've also changed yourself psychologically. This is why it is so hard for a person who is filled with the Word of God to have unbona fide depression. Now, there is a bona fide depression, maybe a chemical imbalance caused by various different physical conditions, perhaps. And there is a depression that can happen because of certain things, yes. And that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about an unbona fide depression that's the result of incorrect thinking. Well, you know what? The Word of God changes not only your body, but your psychology. You want to know why people have all these problems psychologically? Because they're not getting the Word of God. And their health is going to suffer because their DNA is being poorly expressed. And that poor health is going to be passed on to their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So what do I do if I'm in that situation? I draw near to the Word of God because it will heal me. It can cure me. In Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. So when I get the Word of God anointed by the Holy Spirit and the quickening of the Holy Spirit, and I receive the Word of God in this way, sweet there is pleasant and agreeable to the soul. In other words, it heals my mind, my emotions, my conscience, my self-consciousness, my self-image, and my volition. And all of a sudden, where it was so difficult to make right decisions are the natural way of thinking. They just come to me as normal process of thoughts. Where it was so difficult to have a healthy, unreactionary emotion, all of a sudden my emotions are absolutely delightful. And I start to actually enjoy them rather than being miserable in them. Why? Word of God. Pleasant words. The right words. The Word of God is sweet to the soul. And it is health to the bones. So, what's health mean? It's healing and it's remedy. The Word of God will heal me. Because it will change the genes that are being expressed. It will change the wrong genes from being expressed to having the right genes expressed. It will change the right genes from being suppressed to expressed as opposed to the wrong genes. The wrong genes will now be suppressed with the Word of God. And it is health, it is a healing, and it is a remedy to my bones. And bones, in Genesis 2:23, are something that is physically life-giving. In other words, the Word of God gives life to my body. The right kind of life. The right quality of life. And all of a sudden, where my health was starting to falter because I didn't have the Word of God in my life, my health improves, my emotions improve, my psychology improves, my thinking improves, my decisions improve, everything improves about me. My blood pressure goes down, my hormones get leveled out, everything turns out fine. My stress levels drop, and all the hormones that the stress produces, they get evened out, and all of a sudden I'm healthy. And my weight balances out. And my skin is better, my hair is better, my nails are better, everything is better. Why? Health to the bones. Health that is life-giving. And I get remedy from the Word of God. It restores my health. And then it sends that health to my children, and it sends that health to my grandchildren, and it sends that health to my great-grandchildren. It's the Word of God. Do you see why I exhort people? Get into the Word. Don't neglect the Word. Don't neglect the Word. It's not just your thinking or behavior. It's your life, and it is your children's life, and it is your grandchildren's life, and it's your great-grandchildren's life. It's astonishing that little bit of self-orientation where I don't feel like the Word of God today. I'm too tired. I don't have time. I won't make the time. I can't find it. I won't make it. Without condemning, but it's unbelievably selfish. Because not only do you pay the price, your children, your great children, and your great grandchildren pay the price for that bit of self-centered selfishness. That's horrifying. That's horrifying. Never neglect the Word of God. It's not just you that pays the price. If you have neglected it, get into the Word of God. I'll guarantee you one thing. If you're neglecting the Word of God, your health is paying the price. One way or another, whether it's through stress or hormones or whatever it may be, your health is paying the price. Your children's health will pay the price. Your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will pay the price. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Don't neglect God in your life. If you do, you can't think. I don't care what you got running through that physical machine. I don't care what kind of electrical impulses are being sent back and forth. If you're not into the Word of God, you can't think. You're going to have bad health, and generations are going to pay the price for your mistake. If you can think, it's because you're in the Word of God. And if you're in the Word of God, you'll be able to think. You'll have better health. And generations are going to reap the benefit. Those wrong, careless decisions. Those places that people, that Christians want to go, that are of the world, and they say to themselves, oh, I won't do anything there. Well, maybe you won't, but you know what? You've already been changed by being in that environment. Your body responds to the environment, and it is not voluntary. All kinds of stresses are put on by the environment, and it is not voluntary. You cannot control it. Oh, you may not do anything nasty in your behavior, but you can't control your physiology. and the environment impacts it, and it impacts your genes. And then you pass it on. Don't you see the unbelievable importance when the Bible says, "My son, give me your heart"? It's everything. It's everything. It is absolutely everything. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law. And that's the word of God there. But let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days. For length of days in verse 2. And long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Do you see why in Ephesians chapter 6 in the first verse, the Word of God says, and this is New Testament. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and thy father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live a long life. Do you realize what that is doing? When children get rebellious and nasty and reactionary and ugly toward their parents and toward their spiritual parents, both physical and spiritual, that's what it's talking about there. Do you see why it's cutting off your life? Because you have changed your genetic expression. And you've changed it to the point where you're going to become unhealthy and you're going to die early because your genes will take you there. It's not that God's going to come down and kill you. It's that you've changed yourself physically. God, if young people could get this through their heads, that they're changing themselves physically and psychologically and emotionally, and you're changing your subconscious and you're changing your conscious mind and you're changing everything about your thinking and about your physical body, because the genes determine everything that is in your physical body. There is not one thing about you that is not controlled by your genes, and if you can turn them on and off, then you're changing everything there is. Do you see the importance? Do you see the importance? My son, forget not my law. Forget not the word of God. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they be to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around your neck. The neck speaks of the volition. Bind mercy and truth around your volition. Not criticism and law. Not harshness and whatever, some trip. Bind mercy and truth. What is truth? The Holy Spirit's revelation of the Word of God in the foundation of the finished work. Bind them around your volition. Cause your choices to be on the foundation of truth and mercy. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Cause them to be the foundation of your frame of reference, so that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now get this. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Evil is Satan's government, and he is in control of the world system. The world system is the practical manifestation of evil. Worldliness, worldly environments, worldly friendships, relationships are evil. It is under Satan's domain. Depart from this, the Word of God says. And, listen now, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. What does that mean? It shall be health. The word there is in the original language, healing. It'll be healing to your navel, and the navel speaks literally of the umbilical cord. Do you understand this? This is the impact it has on your children, even if you don't have any yet. This is what you will pass down to them. Mercy and truth will heal the DNA that is passed to your children. Choices, that's what it's saying, bind them around your neck, around your volition. Choosing mercy and truth. Thinking according to mercy and truth. Deciding according to mercy and truth. Making choices according to mercy and truth will heal your DNA, and that healing will be passed to your children. And it will be marrow to thy bones. It'll be life-giving in health to you. Exodus 34:7, this is how the old sin nature gets overcome. This is how we overcome the old sin nature. My son, give me your heart. This is why. It's your life. It's your psychological well-being. It's your health. It's your genetics. It's your thinking. It's your self-image, your identity. And then it is those things to your children, and it is those things to your grandchildren, and it is those things to your great-grandchildren. So what is it that your children are going to inherit from you? Because your decisions are changing the DNA that you are passing on. It's in the Bible. And science explains how it works. It's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. My son, give me your heart. Draw near to God and He draws near to you. The Word of God is health to you and your children. I lay before thee this day life and death. Choose life that you and your seed may live. Amen.